case, United States versus Brewington. Mr. Marsh.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, counsel for the United States. The interstate agreement on detainers is a balance of two competing interests. The competing interests are the interest of a prisoner, such as Mr. Brewington, who has criminal charges pending in another jurisdiction, to have a speedy disposition of those charges. And the competing interest is the interest of the prosecuting attorney in the jurisdiction where the non-resolved charges are, to have a fair opportunity to bring the person to trial for those charges. The United States Supreme Court clearly recognized those two competing interests when it said in the Fex case that there was a dilemma on that particular case, the way the facts developed, the way it was argued by the parties. There's a dilemma. Either the court said that the prisoner is going to be denied his opportunity to have a speedy disposition of the charges, or the prosecutor is going to be denied his opportunity to bring the person to trial. And there's a risk, the court said, that a negligent or malicious prison official can cause the resolution of that dilemma. In other words, a negligent or careless prison official can cause the prosecuting attorney to lose a fair opportunity to bring a person to trial. This case is different from that case. This case is different from the case of Jones from this court, because here the prosecuting attorney did have notice of the charge, notice of Mr. Brewington's desire to have a speedy disposition of the charges. So the dilemma presented by the court in Fex simply doesn't appear. The district court's decision in the present case leaves the matter such that the negligent or malicious prison official, who is the one who has the duty to forward the...
How is this case different from Fex, in your view?
In Fex, the prosecuting attorney did not have actual notice of the prisoner's request for a speedy trial, which is also the case in Jones. In neither of those cases did the prosecutor have actual notice of the defendant's desire to have a speedy resolution of the charges. So to look at the negligent or malicious prison official, as the court did in the Fex case, that person has the power now to frustrate the prisoner's demand for a speedy trial during a period of time which the prosecuting attorney has actual notice of the defendant, the prisoner's desire to have a speedy resolution of the charges.
I don't see that, because, I mean, what the court is weighing is, you know, what's going to happen more often, just inadvertence or evil intent? And they don't think the evil intent thing is going to happen too often. So they say that you've got to get the notice both to, consistently with the statute, both to the U.S. attorney and to the appropriate district court. And this form that that is attached to the government's brief also alerts the inmate, the prisoner, to inquire periodically about whether both the U.S. attorney and the U.S. district court have received the charge. So, you know, and there's no question here. I mean, I don't hear anything in this case that he tried to inquire and was frustrated in his efforts to inquire or something. So I don't see why we should do anything other than read this as written and say both of these sources, the statute and the Supreme Court, say that both places have to receive the notice. Here one did and the other didn't, and so he didn't, in a sense, perfect his request.
The reason you shouldn't, Your Honor, I would respectfully suggest, is because that reading of the statute and that reading of the Fex case puts in place a procedural requirement which is really meaningless, so which is beyond the power of the prisoner to control.
Why is it when the prisoner can inquire to make sure that the district court or the U.S. attorney got the notice?
In theory, a prisoner can, but I think it's not realistic to think that a state prisoner, unsophisticated in the law, would feel any need to go beyond what the form tells him to do. The form says if
the
you want
to... The form also says you need to inquire periodically. So, I don't know. You're asking us, in a sense, to read out of the statute and the cases, the phrase and the appropriate court.
Yes, that's exactly right, because that that requirement does not, and other courts have done that, because that requirement doesn't really do anything. The courts don't do anything once they receive that notice, and the prosecutor, once the prosecutor has actual notice, the prosecutor is the one who needs to inquire as to why the writ of habeas corpus has not been filed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Marsh. Mr. Rinka?
May it please the court. Mr. Marsh, good morning. It's the position of the government of the United States, Matthew Rink on behalf of the United States, first of all, but it's the position of the government in this case that precedent of both the United States Supreme Court and this court laid this issue to rest very squarely. In this particular case, the Interstate Agreement on Detainers requires that a criminal defendant in state custody, when the United States has a detainer against him, deliver and serve a copy of his demand for speedy trial on both the appropriate U.S. District Court and on the U.S. Attorney's Office. That did not happen in this case. In this particular case, the U.S. Attorney's Office did receive a copy of the notice, but the District Court clearly found no notice was received by the court. The appellant in this case would have the court.
That's kind of a windfall for the U.S. attorney, right, which doesn't seem to have been taking this notice too seriously. Had the court received it, you would have blown the clock.
It's the government's position, Your Honor, that it's not the requirement of the government to act on behalf of.
No, I understand that's your position. I'm just saying you didn't do anything within the 180-day period. Unbeknownst to you, I assume, the court hadn't received the notice. The court could have had the notice sitting there in its files, and then when you came in late, the prosecution would have had to be dismissed.
It's the government's position, Your Honor, that the 180-day clock never started to run because...
As it happened, I know that's your position. I'm just saying you lucked out because... matters utterly beyond your control bailed out this case for you. Since, as you say, under FEX, if the court has to receive it for the clock to start running, the clock didn't start running, but if the court had received it the same day the U.S. Attorney's Office had received it, you'd be out of luck because you didn't pursue the prosecution within the correct length of time. We wouldn't even be here if you had filed the case on day 179.
That may very well be, Your Honor. It's the government's position that had the appellant, and I understand the court's position. I'm just trying to, I guess, quantify that had the court received its notice as well, indeed, we wouldn't be here. The government would have acted, but it wasn't required to until the
Why would the government have acted?
Yeah.
The government wouldn't even have known if the judge got the court got the notice. What procedures are in place in your office to get these kind of things moving along when there's an interstate detainer request made? It's pretty simple, I would think, isn't it?
Indeed.
Is there one person that's in charge of these things? They go to that person, and that person's got to get the ball rolling?
There is no one person, Your Honor. It's more diffused than that. There is a conversation between the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Marshal's Office.
Well, that's just to produce somebody in court. But I just don't understand why you don't. First of all, I don't think that I put most of the blame here on the court. But first, even if the court gets notice, it's your prosecution. You're the one that has to come in and get the ball rolling. So I don't see why there isn't something in place, a system for handling these kind of things.
And again, Your Honor,
answer the question by saying there's no one person. So there's no one person that has responsibility, so then it doesn't get done.
That's correct, Judge. The detainer goes with the individual file. So again, that's the government's position. This case is foreclosed by precedent, and unless there are further questions from the court, the government is prepared to stand on its brief.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Rinka and Mr. Marsh, has his time expired? Yeah, your time has expired. So you were appointed, were you not, Mr. Marsh? Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.